Don't worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. And with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin purged." Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I, send me." Verses 1 through 8, Isaiah chapter 6. And then looking in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 9, beginning at verse 1. Then Saul, still breathing out threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Then the Lord said, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads." So he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Then the Lord said to him, "Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. To him the Lord said in a vision, "Ananias." And he said, "Here I am, Lord." So the Lord said to him, "Arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, so that he might receive his sight." Then Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Immediately he preached the Christ to the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Then all who heard were amazed and said, "Is this not he who destroyed those who called on his name in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose, so that he might bring them bound to the chief priests?" But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ. Verses 1 through 22, Acts chapter 9. Thank you, Father, once again for your goodness, your grace, your mercy, and your love. Thank you, Lord, again for the many, many tremendous blessings of 2024. Thank you for the many ways that you, in your grace, poured out your goodness, your mercy, and your grace upon your church and upon your people. And thank you, Lord, for the prospect of beginning a new year, knowing you, loving you, and serving you, and following you. Father, anoint us afresh with the Spirit of grace. Empower us to be the people you've called us to be as we seek to walk out the call of God upon our lives. And Lord, anoint us afresh with the Spirit of prayer. Empower us to be the praying church that you've called us to be, the obedient church you've called us to be, the studying church you've called us to be, the Spirit-filled church you've called us to be. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, I just want to follow along with Pastor Joseph and say thank you so much for 2024. Thank you for all that you gave us and all that you're going to give us in 2025. Father, I also want to ask that you would open up our eyes, that you'd open up our hearts, that 2025 would be a year of your revelation to us, that we could see your character, that we could grow to know you more. And Father, I ask that not only would we learn about you, not only would we get to know you, but would we grow more like you in 2025, Father? Would we more so walk in obedience? Could we more so walk in your word? Father, thank you so much for the scriptures, and I ask for a hunger for walking with you. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac, and thank you again for being a part of our listening family. I want to take time to share an article, as we often do, an article that we're hoping that you'll email us to get a copy of, to strengthen and encourage you in your walk with the Lord, a tool to use in the discipling of your family, but also one to share with others. This one in particular has to do with walking out the call of God upon your life. And it's one actually, originally we shared it close to the time around the month of May, when often graduations take place. But it has important implications for the call of God upon any and every believer's life. Again, the title, Walking Out Your Calling. Romans 11, verse 29, "For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance." And then Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations." Again, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Every year during the month of May, we have the opportunity to attend one or more graduations where everything from high school diplomas to postgraduate degrees are conferred. Commencement addresses can be very interesting, sometimes amusing, but too often very disappointing. Commencement speakers are usually gifted orators who use the occasion to display their knowledge, praise the graduates for their accomplishments, hold up high expectations for them, and assure them of a bright future. But too often, the speaker fails to include God or the will of God in the equation of the graduates' lives and futures. How tragic. If God is mentioned at all, it is often only as an obligatory afterthought. Graduates are challenged to pursue their dreams, fulfill their desires, and make their own way. They're usually told to clearly identify their calling and go after it with all their might. Again, how tragic. The reality is that God chooses your calling and not you. See Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. We're not to decide what we want to do in life and then ask God to bless it. We're to pray and seek God for his call on our lives. And like the Apostle Paul, we're wise to pray, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Acts chapter 9, verse 6. It's been said, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. Before you get upset that God decides your calling rather than you, consider this first. He made you, He designed you, and molded and shaped you to excel and shine for His glory as you live out the calling He gave you. God knows you better than you know yourself. You were made specifically to carry out the call He's given you, and no one in the universe is designed to carry out the specific call on your life but you. So be mindful of this truth. You were created to succeed at what God has called you to do. Your God-designed calling empowers you to live out your purpose in this world. The most exciting, fulfilling, and satisfying life you can possibly live is the life you live as you walk out God's call on your life. The wisest and best life you can possibly live is the life of embracing and running after the call of God on your life. But His calling on your life must be accepted and then lived out faithfully. God is not going to change His mind. See Romans chapter 11, verse 29. You can accept His calling and live it out by the power of the Holy Spirit, becoming a great blessing to the world, or you can run from your calling. However, doing so will only lead to a very frustrated, unfulfilled life, much like getting swallowed by a big fish. See Jonah chapters 1 through 4. It can result in the waste of a lot of money, energy, and time in your life. And be aware of this, wasted time is wasted life. Then maybe after years of frustration, if you live long enough, you can say, and may say, okay, God, I will now do what you told me to do years ago. My recommendation is to say yes to the Lord and His will right now, stepping into a more blessed life today. God and His will for your life is the best thing that can happen to you and all the rest of us. For resources and information about Christ, the architect of life, and how to come to know Him, life's instruction manual, the Bible, faith, and how to grow up spiritually, email us at jparker@afa.net. Now, again, the title of that article, Walking Out Your Calling. Once again, if you'd like to get a copy, simply email me at joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get it to you. And once again, it is our encouragement that you'll email us to get a copy, to read it over and to think on the insights and the truths that are shared. But also, it's a good tool to take time to read and share and talk with your family, parents, talk with your children about. Because again, how important it is that they know too that, yes, God does select the call of God upon their lives, not they themselves. So helping children to grasp that at an early age is just a wise thing to do. And of course, we're encouraging you, please take time to email it and share it with others, because every believer in the world is wise to run after their calling and to discern it and to live it out as well. Lord, thank You for the calling You've placed upon each and every one of our lives. Thank You, Lord, for the truth that as we discern Your calling and live it out, that we can live the fullest and richest and most blessed life we possibly can as we simply live a life walking out the call of God upon our lives and a life of obedience to You, following You, and living for You. Help us, Lord, to be wise enough to pursue giving You our best and to live a life empowered by the Spirit to carry out the call of God fully upon our lives, to carry out the calling and the callings, plural, whatever they might be. We thank You and praise You for the privilege of doing that. And Lord, set us on fire with the spirit of prayer. Set us on fire with the spirit of praise, worship, and thanksgiving. And help us to be mindful that these are tools that help us to walk with You, to discern that call and to live it out more faithfully, fully, and effectively. We thank You and we praise You. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we'll be reading through the Word of God. We'll be back. Music from Planet Shakers with Only Way, a reminder that Jesus Christ is the only way to receive eternal life and eternal salvation. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We pick up now reading through the Word of God in the Old Testament. The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 27, beginning at verse 1. Jotham was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 16 years. His mother was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok. Jotham did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight. He did everything his father Uzziah had done, except that Jotham did not sin by entering the temple of the Lord. But the people continued in their corrupt ways. Jotham rebuilt the upper gate of the temple of the Lord. He also did extensive rebuilding on the wall at the hill of Ophel. He built towns in the hill country of Judah and constructed fortresses and towers in the wooded areas. Jotham went to war against the Ammonites and conquered them. Over the next 3 years, he received from them an annual tribute of 7,500 pounds of silver, 50,000 bushels of wheat, and 50,000 bushels of barley. King Jotham became powerful because he was careful to live in obedience to the Lord his God. The rest of the events of Jotham's reign, including all his wars and other activities, are recorded in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 16 years. When Jotham died, he was buried in the city of David, and his son Ahaz became the next king. 2 Chronicles chapter 28. Ahaz was 20 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 16 years. He did not do what was pleasing in the sight of the Lord, as his ancestor David had done. Instead, he followed the example of the kings of Israel. He cast metal images for the worship of Baal. He offered sacrifices in the valley of Ben Hinnom, even sacrificing his own sons in the fire. In this way, he followed the detestable practices of the pagan nations the Lord had driven from the land ahead of the Israelites. He offered sacrifices and burned incense at the pagan shrines and on the hills and under every green tree. Because of all this, the Lord his God allowed the king of Aram to defeat Ahaz and to exile large numbers of his people to Damascus. The armies of the king of Israel also defeated Ahaz and inflicted many casualties on his army. In a single day, Pekah, son of Remaliah, Israel's king, killed 120,000 of Judah's troops, all of them experienced warriors, because they had abandoned the Lord, the God of their ancestors. Then Zichri, a warrior from Ephraim, killed Maaseiah, the king's son, Azricam, the king's palace commander, and Elkanah, the king's second in command. The armies of Israel captured 200,000 women and children from Judah and seized tremendous amounts of plunder, which they took back to Samaria. But a prophet of the Lord named Oded was there in Samaria when the army of Israel returned home. He went out to meet them and said, "The Lord, the God of your ancestors, was angry with Judah and let you defeat them. But you have gone too far, killing them without mercy, and all heaven is disturbed. And now you are planning to make slaves of these people from Judah and Jerusalem? What about your own sins against the Lord your God? Listen to me and return these prisoners you have taken, for they are your own relatives. Watch out, because now the Lord's fierce anger has been turned against you." Then some of the leaders of Israel, Azariah, son of Jehohanan, Berechiah, son of Meshilamoth, Jehizkiah, son of Shallum, and Amasa, son of Haldai, agreed with this and confronted the men returning from the battle. "You must not bring the prisoners here," they declared. "We cannot afford to add to our sins and guilt. Our guilt is already great, and the Lord's fierce anger is already turned against Israel." So the warriors released the prisoners and handed over the plunder in the sight of the leaders and all the people. Then the four men just mentioned by name came forward and distributed clothes from the plunder to the prisoners who were naked. They provided clothing and sandals to wear and gave them enough food and drink and dressed their wounds with olive oil. They put those who were weak on donkeys and took all the prisoners back to their own people in Jericho, the city of palms. Then they returned to Samaria. At that time, King Ahaz of Judah asked the king of Assyria for help. The armies of Edom had again invaded Judah and taken captives, and the Philistines had raided towns located in the foothills of Judah and in the Negev of Judah. They had already captured and occupied Beth Shemesh, Ajalon, Gederoth, Soko with its villages, Timnah with its villages, and Gimzo with its villages. The Lord was humbling Judah because of King Ahaz of Judah, for he had encouraged his people to sin and had been utterly unfaithful to the Lord. So when King Tiglath-Pileser of Assyria arrived, he attacked Ahaz instead of helping him. Ahaz took valuable items from the Lord's temple, the royal palace, and from the homes of his officials and gave them to the king of Assyria as tribute. But this did not help him. Even during this time of trouble, King Ahaz continued to reject the Lord. He offered sacrifices to the gods of Damascus, who had defeated him, for he said, since these gods helped the kings of Aram, they will help me too if I sacrifice to them. But instead, they led to his ruin and the ruin of all Judah. The king took the various articles from the temple of God and broke them into pieces. He shut the doors of the Lord's temple so that no one could worship there, and he set up altars to pagan gods in every corner of Jerusalem. He made pagan shrines in all the towns of Judah for offering sacrifices to other gods. In this way, he aroused the anger of the Lord, the God of his ancestors. The rest of the events of Ahaz's reign and everything he did, from beginning to end, are recorded in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. When Ahaz died, he was buried in Jerusalem, but not in the royal cemetery of the kings of Judah. Then his son Hezekiah became the next king. 2 Chronicles chapter 29. Hezekiah was 25 years old when he became the king of Judah, and he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. His mother was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. He did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight, just as his ancestor David had done. In the very first month of the first year of his reign, Hezekiah reopened the doors of the temple of the Lord and repaired them. He summoned the priests and Levites to meet him at the courtyard east of the temple. He said to them, "Listen to me, you Levites. Purify yourselves and purify the temple of the Lord, the God of your ancestors. Remove all the defiled things from the sanctuary. Our ancestors were unfaithful and did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, our God. They abandoned the Lord and his dwelling place. They turned their backs on him. They also shut the doors to the temple. They also shut the doors to the temple's entry room, and they snuffed out the lamps. They stopped burning incense and presenting burnt offerings at the sanctuary of the God of Israel. That is why the Lord's anger has fallen upon Judah and Jerusalem. He has made them an object of dread, horror, and ridicule, as you can see with your own eyes. Because of this, our fathers have been killed in battle, and our sons and daughters and wives have been captured. But now I will make a covenant with the Lord, the God of Israel, so that his fierce anger will turn away, from us. My sons, do not neglect your duties any longer. The Lord has chosen you to stand in his presence, to minister to him, and to lead the people in worship and present offerings to him. Then the Levites got right to work. From the clan of Kohath, Mahath the son of Amasai, and Joel son of Azariah. From the clan of Merari, Kish son of Abdi, and Azariah son of Jehalalel. From the clan of Gershon, Joah son of Zemah, and Eden son of Joah. From the family of Elizaphan, Shimri and Jael. From the family of Asaph, Zechariah and Mattaniah. From the family of Heman, Jehiel and Shimei. From the family of Jeduthun, Shemaiah and Uziel. These men called together their fellow Levites, and they all purified themselves. Then they began to cleanse the temple of the Lord, just as the king had commanded. They were careful to follow all the Lord's instructions in their work. The priests went into the sanctuary of the temple of the Lord to cleanse it, and they took out to the temple courtyard all the defiled things they found. From there, the Levites carted it all out to the Kidron Valley. They began the work in early spring, on the first day of the new year. And in eight days they had reached the entry room of the Lord's temple. Then they purified the temple of the Lord itself, which took another 8 days. So the entire task was completed in 16 days. Then the Levites went to King Hezekiah and gave him this report. We have cleansed the entire temple of the Lord, the altar of burnt offering with all its utensils, and the table of the bread of the presence with all its utensils. We have recovered all the items discarded by King Ahaz when he was unfaithful and closed the temple. They are now in front of the altar of the Lord, purified and ready for use. Early the next morning, King Hezekiah gathered the city officials and went to the temple of the Lord. They brought 7 bulls, 7 rams, and 7 male lambs as a burnt offering, together with 7 male goats as a sin offering for the kingdom, for the temple, and for Judah. The king commanded the priests, who were descendants of Aaron, to sacrifice the animals on the altar of the Lord. So they killed the bulls. And the priest took the blood and sprinkled it on the altar. Verses 1 through 21, 2 Chronicles chapter 29. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we've been reading through the Word of God. We'll be back.
Thank you. You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand.
Music from Hillsong with Oceans. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We continue now reading through the Word of God as we pick up at the beginning of the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 1. This is a record of the ancestors of Jesus the Messiah, a descendant of David and of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac was the father of Jacob. Jacob was the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah was the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. Perez was the father of Hezron. Hezron was the father of Ram. Ram was the father of Amminadab. Amminadab was the father of Nahshon. Nahshon was the father of Salmon. Salmon was the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz was the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed was the father of Jesse. Jesse was the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother was Bathsheba, the widow of Uriah. Solomon was the father of Rehoboam. Rehoboam was the father of Abijah. Abijah was the father of Asa. Asa was the father of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was the father of Jehoram. Jehoram was the father of Uzziah. Uzziah was the father of Jotham. Jotham was the father of Ahaz. Ahaz was the father of Hezekiah. Hezekiah was the father of Manasseh. Manasseh was the father of Ammon. Ammon was the father of Josiah. Josiah was the father of Jehoiakim and his brothers, born at the time of the exile to Babylon. After the Babylonian exile, Jehoiakim was the father of Shealtiel. Shealtiel was the father of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was the father of Abiad. Abiad was the father of Eliakim. Eliakim was the father of Azor. Azor was the father of Zadok. Zadok was the father of Akim. Akim was the father of Eliad. Eliad was the father of Eleazar. Eleazar was the father of Matthan. Matthan was the father of Jacob. Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. Mary gave birth to Jesus, who is called the Messiah. All those listed above include 14 generations from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the Babylonian exile, and 14 from the Babylonian exile to the Messiah. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. But he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus. Matthew chapter 2. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel.'" Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasure chest and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. After the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up, flee to Egypt with the child and his mother," the angel said. "Stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." That night, Joseph left for Egypt with the child and Mary, his mother, and they stayed there until Herod's death. This fulfilled what the Lord had spoken through the prophet, "I call my son out of Egypt." Herod was furious when he realized that the wise men had outwitted him. He sent soldiers to kill all the boys in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, based on the wise men's report of the star's first appearance. Herod's brutal action fulfilled what God had spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. "A cry was heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning. Rachel weeps for her children, refusing to be comforted, for they are dead." When Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. "Get up," the angel said. "Take the child and his mother back to the land of Israel, because those who were trying to kill the child are dead." So Joseph got up and returned to the land of Israel with Jesus and his mother. But when he learned that the new ruler of Judea was Herod's son Archelaus, he was afraid to go there. Then, after being warned in a dream, he left for the region of Galilee. So the family went and lived in a town called Nazareth. This fulfilled what the prophets had said, He will be called a Nazarene. Matthew chapter 3. In those days, John the Baptist came to the Judean wilderness and began preaching. His message was, "Repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near." The prophet Isaiah was speaking about John when he said, "He is a voice shouting in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way for the Lord's coming. Clear the road for him.'" John's clothes were woven from coarse camel hair, and he wore a leather belt around his waist. For food, he ate locusts and wild honey. People from Jerusalem and from all of Judea and all over the Jordan Valley went out to see and hear John. And when they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming to watch him baptize, he denounced them. "You brood of snakes," he exclaimed, "who warned you to flee the coming wrath? Prove by the way you live that you have repented of your sins and turned to God. Don't just say to each other, 'We're safe, for we are descendants of Abraham.' That means nothing. For I tell you, God can create children of Abraham from these very stones. Even now, the axe of God's judgment is poised, ready to sever the roots of the trees. Yes, every tree that does not produce good fruit will be chopped down and thrown into the fire. I baptize with water those who repent of their sins and turn to God. But someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater that I'm not worthy even to be his slave and carry his sandals." Verses 1 through 10, Matthew chapter 3. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity we have of being able to open your word every day and spend time one-on-one with you as you speak words of wisdom, counsel, grace, strength, joy, and empowerment. Thank you for this opportunity. Anoint us all afresh with the spirit of grace that would encourage us to make it a high priority, to make it the priority you would have us to make it in our lives, to get into your word significantly every single day. Help us, Lord, in the busyness of life to make time with you one of the most important things we will accomplish on any given day. And Father, more and more, anoint us afresh with the spirit of grace. Help us as parents and those that work with youth to be diligent, to teach, train, and help our children to get into your word daily as well. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. As we usually do before we end the broadcast, if you're listening today and you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart to be the Lord and Savior of your life, today is a wonderful day, a great day to be saved, to fully commit your heart and your life to the Lord. If you'd like to make that step, would you, from your heart, pray this prayer with us right now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so, so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, by faith, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come anew into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. You told us in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, today I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Help me to live for you. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to pray daily. Help me to obey your word daily. Thank you, Father, for hearing our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you committed your life to Christ and prayed that prayer, we wish to be in touch with you. I want to remind you once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We do want to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up, grow strong, and vibrant in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please, please be sure and email us to get that literature. Again, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get it to you. If you wanted to get a copy of the article that we shared earlier in the broadcast, the article entitled Walking Out Your Calling, same email, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get that to you as well. Thank you for listening. And of course, if you don't already have the habit of reading at least 3 chapters in the Word of God every day, today is a wonderful day to start that habit. And parents, having your children read 3 chapters out loud to you daily, today is a great day to start that habit with them today as well. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.